Hi, this is Rob with the Guys, Games, and Beer audio podcast. We're an all-ages show, however, some language and situations may be inappropriate for some audiences. Come visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. From the scariest place on earth.
The sankiest place on earth.
It is skanking.
The G2B basement. Guys, games, and beer!
Woo!
Ah, Monday.
We are actually doing it Monday
because why are we doing the show on Monday?
Because I'm going to hand out candy for trick or treat.
and drink hot cocoa with peppermint.
It did sound actually good. By the fire while you're handing out candy.
Create a nice fire and yeah.
I am not sad that I got that shit out of the way yesterday.
Mm. Well,
because I was already sitting at home in my underwear.
Well, tell me you did not answer the door.
Come on, kids. No.
Not once.
No.
Definitely never happened.
My village demanded. A few years back.
Demanded!
That you wear pants.
Always be on Halloween and always in some portion at night.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
That's actually a good demand.
So.
Yeah, and that Larry had to wear pants.
Right.
Specifically Larry.
Yeah, and I could never. Well, if it's just Larry, then I could live in your town.
Yeah, right.
I'd be good to go.
I've got some special candy for all the single mothers.
I don't know why they hate on. I don't know why they hate on kills like that, but, you know.
Hey.
You gotta wear pants.
Bastard. You're playing with your hair at the end of the table. Yeah, but not where you can see it.
Yeah.
Below the table right now, he is making a faux bouffant.
That's right.
No.
Alright, so we probably should beer cards.
I was just checking to make sure that we weren't transmitting a black screen on you on Facebook.
No, I did not check Facebook.
It looks good.
Yeah, we're good on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay, so it's just the sending thing. Okay,
that's fine.
Don't give your pubes a twist. Not like
that
one.
Too late.
And 3, 2, 1, and
da-da-da-bum. Da-da-da-da-bum.
Beer court.
In high definition.
Hey!
For once.
Nominate B. Simulcast in Spanish.
Larry, what are we doing for beer court tonight?
We have whatever that word is at the beginning.
Wisconsin.
For yes.
Okay, a red ale from Central Waters Brewing Company. And I went with red because it was like Halloween and like blood and blood red, you know, so that's kind of the Halloween tie.
Works for me.
So,
look, it's beer. You could have tied it in any way you wanted to. I would have been fine with it. It's beer.
I mean, it's a red ale, so it's probably
fine. Ale, sun, earth, and sky.
With its mellow multiplayer and subtle flowery note. Wisconsining gets its name from the Algonquin word for the Wisconsin River or Red Stone River, featuring a range of caramel malts, mild biscuit sweetness, and a warm, rich mahogany color.
Ooh,
nice.
Where you can sit with your many leather-bound books.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
Nice. Rich mahogany.
Smells of.
What do you say this is on the cap of a chicken's foot?
No, it's a crane. A crane's foot.
How the hell you tell the difference between those?
Smells red.
Tastes red.
Ooh, tastes like blood.
Sorry, I don't get the mahogany notes, though.
I don't know what mahogany is supposed to smell or taste like.
So
I'm just going to defer to your judgment on that.
Have you chewed on some mahogany?
Exactly.
I gotta say, I'm usually not a fan of reds. Sounds pretty good.
That's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. It doesn't punch me in the throat with bitterness at the end like most reds usually do.
No, it's got a really smooth finish, not to mention it. I mean, there's really nothing on the end of it.
Yeah, which I'm for. I'm for that.
So.
Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I almost got cut in like no opinion.
There's nothing special about it. It's well done, but
yeah, special about that's kind of where I'm at.
If and like you're in Wisconsin, like you could get yourself a good like radio. Like I 10 times to 1 prefer a fixed gear over this.
Right.
Yeah. Like in you know Lake Brenda.
Way to blow the sponsor though.
Oh, sorry. We got a sponsorship.
Wait, which way do you mean blow? And who's the sponsor?
I mean, if you mean blow like sucking Lake Brent's dick, then I'm all on that.
Oh, if they'll sponsor us, yeah, we're all on our knees.
We will slob all over that.
But yeah, I mean, like it's well done. I like Reds in general, so
yeah, I do too. You know, it's something like a little sweet or something, but you know, I like. I'm really getting into the darker side of life after trailing through the IPAs for a few years. You know.
Always look on the dark side of life.
I was trying to think of like a dark demonic noise. That was the best I could come up
with. Like an evil duck.
That was really, really poorly done.
It's the mirror universe version of the Aflac duck.
Like the emo duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ah,
Aflac.
But again, yeah, it's
okay.
It's okay.
It's well done for a red ale, but again, it's one of those things like, hey, if it's there, if it was like in a cooler sitting somewhere with a bunch of other random beers, there's a pretty good chance I would pick one up.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go anywhere.
No, I'm actually going to give it a thumbs up. I would drink this. It doesn't, what was the APV on this? Do we know?
I don't. Nobody knows.
I'm going to bet it's not that strong.
Yeah, there's a bill.
Ice Games of Beer has been going for 5.5 years, and we haven't done a musical episode yet.
Oh!
We've done a lot of music, though. We have written a lot of our own original tunes.
That's true.
Wow, they are just being really coy on that.
Yeah, I don't see anywhere on the label. All right, well,
it's here forever.
I'm still going to bet. I'm still going
to. Oh, no, here's the tour information.
Huh. Well, I'll be damn. Oh.
All right, so what do we got? Two middle of the road, three up. So, not. Larry's got
mostly. Yeah.
Larry's got three quarter chubby going.
Yeah.
So
you know, I would order it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I would order it. I mean, I can see drinking this in a bar. Probably not high alcohol. It got decent taste. It again goes back down to it. Something I can drink. If it's not the only beer I want to have all night, I can drink something afterwards. And this isn't going to kill my taste buds. All right, Judge Rob, pass verdict on this beer.
Charge one. Red communism. Guilty.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're one red damn ale. Charge two. Oh, being a Frenchie. Also guilty.
Properly Algonquin.
However.
After reading the bottle.
However. Yeah, I wasn't listening. However.
Yeah, try to learn you something.
I will not learn. I refuse. I refuse to learn.
Part of my life is over now.
So, I find you guilty of both charges and sentence you to...
Two?
Drinking!
Yeah! Wait a minute. Hi, Tegan!
Hi!
Hi, Ryan!
Hi, Ryan!
Hey, Benja! Hey, Baker!
Baker?
He was talking about the orgy thing.
Yeah, he was. He also kind of likes your hair, dude. Just saying right now.
Both sets?
Yeah, he did.
I do. I feel like I said, I take this off and I feel like I'm a superhero. I have my, you know, my superpower drop. But still.
Well, there's a skill to that.
Okay, so Rob, what are we actually talking about tonight?
True. Tonight we are going to be talking about the Halloweenies, the scary games that we have played. We'll keep it kind of open for them. It's games, so you can... Talk about a board game
if somebody would like to talk about board games.
Sexual
game.
Wow.
Oh, just scared the shit out of you. Good call.
Way to go.
I'll open up the forum here. So I've been a really big fan lately of stuff that's not 100% scary. It's almost it's spoopy. It's comedic, it's supposed to be scary, but it kind of misses the mark.
So I had actually heard about this game from my wife. She played it all the time as a kid. And it is a VHS board game from the 90s called Nightmare. And, you know, I knew about VHS board games, and, like, they had a big stand in the 80s, 90s. But I'd never really played any of them.
You know, I heard of a billion of them, and I've seen them at every rummage sale, but I'd never played one.
Yeah, it really, so basically the premise of this game, and I found out that there's a base game and then 4 expansions, so apparently it did decently well. So the base game, you have a VHS tape that is 60 minutes long, and it basically has kind of like the narrator of the game. It's called The Gatekeeper. So your job is, you're supposed to be going around this graveyard collecting keys so you can kind of unlock the gate at the center of the board before time runs out. And you're kind of playing with the other people to survive, but you also want to be the one that wins before the 60 minutes are up. But the gatekeeper will basically modify the rules during the game as you kind of play, and he'll basically say, hey, you'll get trapped in a black hole, or you'll have to do certain challenges. But there's a really, really interesting kind of interactive aspect to it, where you have to, like, answer to him and call him, like, yes, my gatekeeper, when he asks for you. Otherwise he punishes you. What?
The gatekeeper's on the videotape?
He's on the videotape, and he basically talks on the screen. And he basically punishes you if you don't answer to him, and he has you play.
How does he know?
Play these challenges. You have to, like, enforce it between your friends. You have to, like, kind of call each other out. Like, yeah, you didn't complete that in time. But it is very ridiculous because it's pretty fast-paced. Like, you have to, like, roll the hand off the die, and just keep going back and forth. And it gets, like, really hectic and, like, crazy. Like, give me the damn die! Whose turn is it? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like 15 minutes in, it just devolves into chaos. Like, it's just... But it's also, like, a little bit scary because he's, like, a really, like, offsetting guy. But it's also really fucking corny, and it just, like, gets some pretty good laughs. It doesn't have a ton of replayability value, because, again, it's static on VHS.
That's why you gotta buy the other 4.
The other 4 is great. I got the second one, and the second one was a little too crazy for me. So the first one, I had this guy called the Gatekeeper. He started as, like, this normal guy in a cloak, and he kind of became, like, more zombified and undead as the 60 minutes went on.
Yeah.
But the second one started a rock and roll zombie called Baron Zemiti. And he was just like fucking, this is like a fucking acid trip. Like, he has you like singing, like zip doop bop bidi boop bop bop bop. Like, has you fucking like scatting in the middle of the game. It's much more on the comedy side of it, but it's also like.
You say scatting?
It's
also like borderline racist.
Yeah.
It's real.
I have no idea. It's really fucking crazy. So I tried the second one.
Sounds like it. Really is fun if you have a few in you.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to play in a low lit room with a couple of drinks and get lit up. It's a very weird. It's seriously, I've tried that game a couple of times, and now I've bought like other VHS games just because I thought they were so like insane and crazy. Like, I got a Star Wars one because of it.
I got Clue.
So I legitimately, like, that was my gateway into these like cheesy 80 and 90s VHS games.
It's gateway drug.
It's like 20% scary, 80% hilarious. You know?
Now I have to ask. So what you're finding is like they've been converted over to digital files now. I take it.
They're all on YouTube.
Basically. Oh, nice. So you can actually.
I have the VHSs, but it was like legitimately the second time I popped into play, the VHS got like eaten up a little bit. I'm just gonna fucking play it on YouTube. Screw this.
Well, that makes sense to do that, but you still almost gotta buy the original though to get the board. Right?
Yeah. And well, like, so like with Nightmare, the first one you get the main board set and everything. And then the second, third, and fourth ones, they have, like, the tape for the... But it also has new cards.
So the board's the same, just a different VHS?
No, not just a different VHS. It has different, like, event cards and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, like, basically some of, like, game stuff depends on time. Like, at 20 minutes and 9 seconds, do this. Or, like, so you get different cards that trigger at different times. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I highly recommend them. They're not, like, super cheap, but they're not really expensive.
Yeah.
And, again, they're pretty...
Halloween video I had, but...
Yeah, I highly recommend, like, switched. It's fun to play with a group of friends. It's a good night of amusement.
All right.
It's worth the 30-40 bucks, for sure.
Okay, who wants to go next?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's the scariest game or whatever.
Actually, I see one game that you got there.
I'm going to talk about Gloom first.
Talk about Gloom first.
Not necessarily the scariest, but I know. I don't know what he's doing over there. The command control has gone crazy.
Yeah, it really did. Wow. It's like, what the hell? Stop drinking, Rob!
We almost have like a, what?
It's supposed to be a Halloween roll.
Okay, well, so that's okay. I do love the choice on the eyes, though.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Yeah, that was okay.
The generic.
The other one was not.
Yeah, the emergency beer.
The emergency. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So, but for Creep Factor, the artwork in that on this game is pretty awesome. I mean, you know, it's like you got an insane clown, and I know you probably can't see it.
Is there a pot? Oh, dang it.
I was going to word it. You two tripped over each other on that one.
So, like, the creepy clown, you know, and basically the game, if you haven't played it, and you've probably seen it, it's been out for a while, but if you haven't picked it up, kind of looked at it, maybe that might be interesting. Basically, the game premise is you have a family of really weird, strange people, and you're trying to have them all die in the most saddest way possible. And other people in the game are trying to, like, make your family happier. So you're like, you're giving your family awful things to do, and, like, you know, really unfortunate things, and everyone else is giving your family good things to do. And so that's why the cars are translucent, if you ever wonder why they're translucent, because you play over other cars.
See, and I thought this was a cool idea for a game.
So when you put something down, someone else puts...
I'm going to actually hold these up, because I do want people to see the artwork, and I want to show them this the way it works. Now, let's see, yeah. So you start with a base card, and the artwork on the cards is really cool to start with. And then when you put a card over it, it changes the value of the cards. I've seen this done with a couple of games besides this, but it's a really cool concept using translucent cards like this. When you modify the card, instead of ending up with this big stack running down the table, they just stack on top of each other, and each one is set up to change the card you're using.
And just sort of line up with the other one and cover up different other pieces, you know? It's a lot of... The game mechanic becomes fairly easy, but it is always sort of creepy in it. And it's worth it. They did, at least the first couple times you play it, it is interesting to actually read, like, what the cards are. For example, this one is Growing Up Without Grace. And Death Becomes You. Hurried up. You know? little quotes and things on them and stuff. And it's just kind of a creepy concept, creepy game, creepy artwork, you know, so it's just, so I thought this one was
pretty cool. That is actually a good creepy game to go to. But before you jump to your next game, hi Alex.
Hi Alex.
So as an honorable mention.
And this is a good honorable mention.
And we have Three Pillars.
They were on the show.
Yes, been on the show a couple of times.
Nice, basically this game is you solve mysteries or investigate paranormal activity and it's based on what this was created by a team of paranormal investigators.
Right, who had a show on what was it, the Learning Channel?
Yeah.
On the Learning Channel. These guys are really cool.
And so they took the cases they investigated as the basis in the game. So when you're talking about like Lizzie Borden's house and different things like that, you know, like all places they've been and stuff they've sort of seen there kind of pops up. So
right, so now And I'm going to use this as a tie-in to where we're going to be this weekend. So we met these guys 2 years ago at
GameOcon.
That's right.
Yep.
GameOcon in Madison, Wisconsin, which is a great place for tabletop and board gaming and card games. A lot of new games coming out there. And again, they introduced it 2 years ago there and have done really well with it. They were there again last year.
They had a couple expansions last year.
Came out, had a couple expansions. They've been on the show a couple times. Just Google them through our show and you can find... they've been on a couple episodes with us now.
But obviously, you know, that one's one of those games. I think board games can be kind of hard to be, you know, scary. You know, but they can be creepy in your head.
Right.
So when you read the cards and you start thinking about them and stuff, that's where the creep factor starts happening. I mean, there's obviously other games we could have mentioned too, but, it, you know, it's not like they're going to be scary. They're going to be creepy.
Nice. That's a very good point. You don't get startled scared.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can't get jump. It's very hard to get jump scares from a board game.
Right. But it can draw a creepy. It can create a creepy scene in your mind.
Yeah. Which does start to
get
you. I mean, you start to this imagery of like an Arkham Horror where everything you're looking at has got that weird creepy artwork to it, and it's just like kind of seeps in your head a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well, speaking of Arkham Horror, one of my favorites is Mansions of Manx.
Oh.
I started with the second edition. I haven't played any of the first edition scenarios or anything like that, but it's a good game. It's set in the same universe as Arkham Horror, the H.P. Lovecraft type shit. And
that's the
app,
description ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's accurate. The app has this ambiance to it, it's got the thunder cracking in the background and the creepy noises and stuff like that when you're running the game.
So it's a board game, right?
It's a board game with a phone or tablet app.
Yes.
Does it
have an iOS app? I know they got Android on that.
Yes, they have iOS. They have Windows. I believe they also have Mac. All right. I usually actually use my laptop because you can just download the companion app from the Steam store for nothing. You just have to buy the board game to go along with it. That's it.
Now we're talking scary.
It's just a really good fun game. A lot of the descriptions, the cards are spooky and... if you lose the games, you're usually being ripped apart by crazy townspeople and shit like that. It's just a good series. From someone who's, that's true. We are going to be ripped apart by the townspeople if we haven't already.
Yeah, well, just go on our Twitch page. We're always ripped apart by the townspeople.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Did you have that ready?
No. One of these days, I'm going to get the wrong name. One of these days, it's going to happen.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a good game, and I'm not someone who's into scary or spooky stuff. It's just not my thing. That's fine, but I really enjoy the Mansions of Madness series. It's as much as a spooky H.P. Lovecraft game, it is. It's also a fun scenario puzzle game, which I'm into. So
now the Peanut Gallery has a suggestion, but I've never played this game, so I didn't really know that much about it to talk about it. But Fury of Dracula, never played it. Anybody's played
it? No. Alex, you're gonna have to give us more info on this one.
Yeah,
I've never played this one.
When I was looking at different games that are out there and stuff, just to get ideas and stuff, and just kind of. See what's going on.
All right, sorry.
And that one always pops up under the spookiest or creepiest board game. It pops up usually number one. So I would probably check that one out.
Did it? Okay. Well, yeah.
It pops
up
a lot. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it pops up as a good game.
Game.
He saw that one. Are you watching the beat?
No.
We are. Oh, God.
You can't unsee that shit.
There's all sorts of shit you can't unsee on the feed.
Right, he's like rapping again.
I think Rob found a new tool or something.
Yeah, Rob's having a good old time over there.
Just doing my job for once.
Put this over here.
Because I don't get to re-edit it.
Pop shit in here. All right, well, I'm going to go next then. I'm going to go with a classic jump scare, Dread Halls.
Early VR horror.
Yeah, it was. I would say it's not the earliest jump scare.
It's a VR
game. It is a VR game. It's not the earliest jump scare VR game, but
it was one of the early popular ones.
Yeah,
it
showed off what you can do, and they've been really good about keeping it updated and keeping it going. I mean, they're still active development for it. I think you'll probably see.
Does it get you?
What's that?
Does it get you?
Does it get you?
Does it get you?
Oh yeah, it'll get anybody. If you get a chance, watch the Dread Halls jump scare videos. People freak the fuck out at this game. They do a really good job.
A lot of people.
They make you feel very claustrophobic.
Right. But, they do a great job with spatial relationship. They do a great job with lighting effects. They do a great job with audio effects. And the audio effects in it are what really creeps you out. You know, because they'll do spatial audio, you'll hear things moving behind you.
It feels very, like, Amnesia-inspired. Amnesia of the Descent.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're going to, like... Amnesia was really popular at that time. Let's make a VR game out of it.
No, it's...
I mean, it worked well.
It does. It really does.
I mean, it's obviously not as pretty, or at least it wasn't as pretty, but...
It's gotten prettier.
Yeah.
It really has. They've been doing fairly good updating on it, keeping it going. It's a really good jump scare. You know, and again, I know not everybody's into jump scares, but it's a good, straightforward, you wake up in a dungeon, you gotta find your way through it, it's a procedurally generated, it's, you know, so it's always changing, it's fairly well done that way. It really is a dungeon.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
It's a dungeon crawl. Oh, and yeah, there is creepy shit in that dungeon. And the problem is the dungeon is dark. You have a limited range of vision. You turn around. You'll hear shit coming behind you. I mean, it's a creepy game. They did a really good job on it. And again, they do enough stuff like Travis said. They make you feel claustrophobic in the game, which freaks a lot of people out. So they're already kind of stressed to start with, and then you throw a few good jump scares into that kind of effect. It's a good, effective way of doing it. And like I said, I think it's the first jump scare VR that really got big quick. There were other ones, but this one really caught on. And this goes back to the days of Oculus development. It came out during the development days. There was some I'm going to say pre-releases of it. And then they developed it and kept going, and now it's out. It's available on, you know, all your VR platforms, the Gear VR, the Oculus, the Vive. So you can find it on Steam. It's still available on Steam. They keep, like I said, they do a good job keeping it
on sale. Right, the second I was
it's always on sale on Steam. Let me tell you right now. Let's see how much it is on Steam right now. It is currently running for. They just updated it March of this year. They did another update. And it's running. How much is it running right now? It's 25% off. You are correct. It's on sale. $7.49. So yeah, it
was free.
When we were first started playing,
but that is just being.
They added features and shit.
They
put features into it.
Features. Yeah, and they've been doing a good job keeping it up to date. So yeah, no,
it's in shit. The cost of money.
Yeah.
So just funny side story on jump scares, right? So, recently went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. And you go through the mansions or the haunted houses and stuff. And, of course, you expect jump scares, right? And they got me. I mean, a couple times I was, even out in the open in the scare zones, I was just walking along, kind of not paying attention, turn around, person right there, you know? So they got me. They must go to scare school. I expected all that. It was Halloween Horror Nights. Expected all that, right? So the next morning we go back, and it's just a normal day at Universal. And the first ride we go on is King Kong. We're gonna go on Skull Island, King Kong. And so we're walking through. There's no line really. So we're walking through the queue. So just the line to walk up. There was a freaking jump scare in the line. And he totally got me. I mean, I didn't expect it. So then, the next day, we go back, and we're going to do the same ride, you know, and now I'm ready for it. They have more than one people doing it. So I was ready for the first guy, but not the second one.
Oh, my God.
Dude. That didn't belong there, man.
Yeah. I knew the first one was coming, that second one, you motherfuckers.
So in a line, it was a jump scare.
That's actually a good call. But you gotta wait anyways. You want to be scared.
Yeah, like entertaining in line, like that's awesome. Let's switch it up. I do have to say, okay, so I played it probably about a week and a half ago because it kept fucking popping up and like every Facebook feed and subreddit I was, on. But the free game Doki Doki Literature Club, any of you guys played that or heard of it?
Nope.
Okay,
yeah. Something tells me I should be concerned.
Yeah, you should be. So basically, it is, and I'm not going to tell you a ton about it because a lot of why it's so involving is because it's you're not sure what's going to happen. But it's a free game on Steam, and it's kind of a riff on those, like, crappy Japanese romance novel things, the games or whatever, where you, like, try to romance high school and shit. Right?
Romance high schools?
Yeah.
Rob knows nothing about that.
No, yeah. Yeah, so basically, it's only, like, a 2 to 4 hour game, but it's really fucking dark. Like, I made the unfortunate mistake of playing it while nobody was in the house. It gets a little fourth wall breaking, and I was really just happy because my wife had messaged me and like she had like an event going on. She wanted me to join her work friends in a bar, and I was like, yes, I'm very happy to leave the house right now. But then I left the house and I had these images where, like, it was really fucking dark. Like, I kind of get scared by jump scares. Like, movies really don't do it for me. VR games, kind of. But this just sat with you. This just, like, sits under your skin, and you're like, yeah, it's here. And, like, I kind of, like, took a break halfway through the game, and, like, I really shouldn't have. I really should have just played it through. Yeah, like, I legitimately got home and finished it, because I was like, I have to, like, this has to make some sort of logical sense in my head. The part of the reason why it's so fucking, like, crazy is because it doesn't really make logical sense. But it's really good, it's free, and it's, again, it's only, like, really realistically a 2 to 3 hour playthrough. And
it's Doki Literature Club.
Yeah, it's fucking creepy. It is creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I love that cute graphic they give on it, though.
Yeah. And again, I honestly say the less you know about the game, the better.
All right.
It's still a good game.
But that being said, may not be appropriate for all ages.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a disclaimer at 13 plus. If you're, like, triggered by certain things, it tells you what. But don't play it. And I'm serious. Like, it's fucking dark.
Oh, I love the fact they got these really cute, you know, anime graphics going on. I mean, it looks like a dating
sim. Oh, yeah, it's a dating sim. Yeah, it's supposed to be like a dating sim, but it
turns dark.
It's a fourth wall breaker for sure.
Oh, all right. Let's see. It's free, so I'm going to add that to my little Steam library right now.
My Amiga friends. Yeah, it was redundant. You see that?
That was good.
Well, that was
redundant. All of us.
And so, Pinakiller suggests Nightbreed. Anybody playing?
I remember Alien.
Was it based on the movie Nightbreed?
I don't know.
So Nightbreed was a really weird movie about basically demons living amongst people, and there's like a demon city and blah blah blah. There's the characters in it.
The
images are kind of disturbing in the movie. Kind of Canadian movie. I think it's a Canadian movie, actually.
Ah, that is disturbing. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Ah!
Hey. Wow, okay. That's
I've never seen Nightbreed. I've played a lot of
movies. Yeah, it looks good.
I gotta check that one. Is it
based? Yeah, it's based off the movie.
Yeah, okay.
The same title and the book Cabal.
Okay. Yeah, so basically it's about demons amongst us. And again, there's like a demon city. Yeah, the movie, if you ever get a chance.
They live.
No, those are aliens.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a chance to watch the movie Nightbreed, the movie was kind of creepy in its own way. So basically, this young teenager thinks he's homicidal and killing people off and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it goes into the fact that he's actually a demon. And it's got.
Wait, he didn't know he was a demon?
No, of course not. That's his young teenager. How many knows a fucking demon?
Well, I mean, most people kind of know what they are.
Not necessarily. Oh, and it is Clive Barker, too, so yeah.
Wait, so, yeah. I suppose Shadow over Insomal guy didn't really know he was part of the fish people.
Exactly. See, yeah. There you go.
So,
well, hold on. We're going to say hi to a few more people. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Hello.
Greetings.
Speaking of fourth wall, let's just break it down right now and say hi to our people and say join us.
Again, we're suffering a Halloween hangovers.
Yeah, we really are. Yesterday was kind of a long day.
Two-disc Amiga game. Oh, boy.
That's too much.
God, a whole 2 discs.
Fuck that.
I didn't say, yeah, like, I'm looking at the screenshots for this this Nightbreed. The graphics look pretty sweet. It looks a little gory and gross.
Alex says he owns it.
Nightbreed?
Oh, no.
He owns the Dracula one.
He owns the Dracula one.
Yeah, apparently the Dracula one, the Fury of Dracula, they reproduced it. Fantasy.
I'll download that one. I'll try it. I'm game.
Are there any, like, truly scary games that you guys
Oh, I was gonna go in.
I'm gonna talk about this.
I was gonna go into mine. I'm gonna go jump scare.
I'm gonna go with that.
That was a good one, Tom. Anyway, I got two. But the first one I'm gonna talk about is Robo Recall, which is a VR game. And
it's very immersive.
Yes, it's very immersive. The beginning of it just made me shit. Darlene said I screamed like a little fucking girl. Have you played it?
Yeah.
So you know, at the beginning, you're sitting there and you're watching TV in the street. It's very realistic. It's like
realistic graphics. The details are very good in that.
So these robots walk up.
This is Oculus.
So you're watching. You're like in the street watching through, you know, like a store window, a TV. And then some robots walk up. They're part of society. They're just kind of walking down the street. And a news report comes up. An emergency news report comes on talking about how robots are killing people.
Being effective.
Right. And the robots start out, they're like, well, that's terrible. I would never hurt a human. And then, like, the TV bugs out a little bit. And they're watching. And they're like, kind of sounds like a good idea. And then they twitch a little bit, and then they all turn and look at you and jump on fucking top of you. I shit. I just went, because the tension's just building throughout this news story. The tension's just building and building and building, and all of a sudden, oh, man, I shit.
It's a truly beautiful game, too.
It is. I shit. I was just done. I was shitting. But the game's great too. I actually enjoyed playing it quite a bit. But god dang, that one scene. If I was ever gonna have a heart attack from a game, I think that was gonna be it. And then number two, darn it, get on screen here. Yeah, jerk.
Gotta take notes.
This multitasking.
Yeah, really. I gotta say the chat rooms are very busy tonight, so it's hard to keep up with all of
them. Yeah, I'm watching the distracting usual bullshit.
On Twitch?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. That's some funny shit, though.
It is really good.
Alright, so the second one is a Commodore 64 game, and it's probably the first jump scare I ever remember having.
Wow.
And that is the Rescue in Fractalus. The first time you land on a planet, and basically the idea of it is, there's miners trapped on planet.
Like,
and
miners
or
miners.
There's miners.
Or miners.
Well, it was back when I was, in high school, it was miners. There's a bunch of young teenage temptresses trapped on planets. No.
Wow, okay. No, those
are
miners. Those aren't miners.
No, different type of miner.
Back to romantic high schools.
And you basically fly around. It's one of the first.
I was thinking more October Sky, but
it was also one of the first randomly generated games too. But you basically fly around and you pick up these miners and rescue them. But every once in a while, what happens is instead of a miner, a fucking alien shows up and bangs on the window of your ship, and right in the middle of the street.
I did think of another game where you are, it's a video game and you rescue miners and it's pretty scary. It's Michael Jackson's.
Bravo! Bravo!
Nice! Loving it. That's a good one. So, do you think that jump scares work better on computer platforms or video game platforms?
I
think just a general
jump scares are better with overall with the more technology you have. Like if it can be more immersive, like with VR or better graphics,
or better audio.
Better audio.
Which game? Audio. I'm trying to think of the newest game that it's a PC game, but it used audio very effectively to scare the shit out of you. But you know,
simplest.
But
VR game.
Five Nights Freddy wasn't bad, but there wasn't. That's not the one I'm thinking of. It'll come
back.
But here's the thing: when you have spatial audio again, when sounds pop up behind you, which you don't necessarily get when you have just straight, you know, monitor speaker or whatever, when the audio starts creeping up behind you, and you hear things, you know, clicking on behind you, it makes
I do,
a world of difference.
Yeah, I do have to say for those kind of jump scares and things like that, it's better when you're more immersed. And for whatever reason that is, whether it's a good crafted world or better graphics and audio. But I do have to say, when it comes to creepiness, like there's two kinds of scary. There's the jump scary or gruesome scary, and then there's like the creepy kind of like underlying scary. I think that kind of creepiness can be done with a less.
Right.
Like, Doki Doki Literature Club scared the fuck out of me, but it didn't really have a lot going for it. It was static text and images and stuff like that. Or they're, you know, a good creepy novel or a board game. You know, it can be kind of creepy without it having all these fancy bells and whistles.
That was the whole thing in Phantasmagoria.
Oh my god, that game is good!
It is. It's just creepy from beginning to end, but it's not. It's not like, it's in a way, there's nothing really happening, but...
Yeah, it's very
just
slow.
Creepy, you know, it just doesn't, and then at the end, of course, you know.
Oh, sorry.
Goes crazy at the
end. I mean, it's been 20 years, but I mean, nobody's really heard of it, so. I mean,
If you've never played it, go check it out.
Yeah, Phantasmagoria.
It's worth it.
Or if you're really fucking lazy, just want somebody to play it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's still a really good experience. I would say, you know, it's kind of a point-and-click adventure game.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had the kind of neat hint system where they would, like, so, like, at any time you could hit the hint of what you need to do next, and the first time you hit it, it would kind of have a cryptic riddle, and then the next time it would be a little less cryptic, and then the third time it would just tell you what you need. And it's just like, all right, stupid.
Oh, all right, dummy. Why don't you get to the good part?
Hi, man. Tonset.
Hi, Tonset.
You're guaranteed to finish the game.
That was that game was made by Roberta Williams, right? That was
Queen's Quest. I thought you were gonna say Roberta Flack.
Now, speaking of discs, that was 7 CDs.
Whoa.
7 CDs.
MS-DOS.
I don't remember if you launched it with DOS or not, but it was seven CDs, and it kind of makes sense. It was a lot of video. I mean, it was a lot of video. You know,
I was gonna say Final Fantasy VII was 3. So,
well, I mean, it was all like loading, like you would go to this part of it, and everything was digitized.
I'm sure, Final Fantasy was more than that because I had it for PC. It was like.
But it was like 7 too. I mean, it was Final Fantasy.
It was a hefty package.
It was more efficient on the PlayStation.
It's just weird.
But I think the reason Phantasmagoria was so much is everything was digitized. It was like digitized people. You know,
yeah, the graphics were pretty high res for the age.
I got to say another high because Penny actually dropped another show.
Hey, Penny!
Hi, Penny! Long time no see. Okay. That's the God's honest.
All right. What am I supposed to
do? None of you guys know Penny. Penny worked with Mom at the credit union. With my mom at the credit union. Your grandma at the credit union.
Gotcha.
So, actually, I'm sorry, not Penny. Her husband did. But, I know Penny and her husband from the credit union.
How's that memory doing, Tom?
Not well. Wait, let me have another beer.
Eternal
I'm out of beer! Damn, I want a beer!
Wait, Eternal Darkness. Anyone? Eternal Darkness.
We've talked about it before the show. Very awesome. I own it. I have only played through probably about half of it. And it's really...
Who needs a beer?
I mean, it's really... Did somebody pull it up in the comments? Or...
I'm sure
for the GameCube, I remember stories. And I only heard about this game because of Justin.
Mm.
And like back, because he had it as a teenager, and
yeah,
like
the GameCube.
Back in the days when he used to bum around in his parents' basement, it was like super fucking creepy because that was another game that kind of like broke the fourth wall with its scares. And like, I really think that Nintendo really should have made another one already, but they're kind of holding that IP close to their chest. I'm hoping they come out with another one for someday. But it had some really great scares to it that broke the fourth wall.
Thanks, sir.
You know, pretend to change the channel on your TV and turn up the volume where you, like, walk into a room and everything was upside down, your controls were inverted, or crazy stuff where you're, like, you'd walk into a room, your head would fall off. But, yeah, so basically you'd manage, like, a health meter as well as a sanity meter. So as your sanity meter kind of decreased, all these other kind of psychological things started happening to you throughout the game. And it was really cool, especially for the time. Like, this was, you know, prime time, you know, everybody still had those big flat CRT, or big, you know, bulky CRTs, and you changed to channel 3 for your video game, and the fact that it would, like, try to change it back for you as kind of like a visual gag was just super friggin' awesome. Like, it's one of the coolest, like, experiences I think that anybody's done as kind of like a fourth wall-breaking kind of thing for a video game. I really hope they make it by one someday. I really do.
Wonder how well it sold. I mean, if it is the determiner.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it did not sell well in its initial run. It, you know, definitely became kind of one of those cult hits. But yeah, definitely did not sell well in its initial run. It took me a while to find one as well.
There will totally be a Kickstarter for it. We're gonna buy back the rights.
I don't know if it's only a cult hit.
Yeah, you know, again, cult hits make
it. That's how it goes.
Yeah, they have so many. Yeah, it's a very low risk way to fund something like that.
That's why there's a Veronica Mars movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good show, and
yeah.
From what I hear, it's a good movie. But, like, it was a cult hit. And when they were like, hey, we kind of want to do a movie, people were like, shut up and take my money! Like, seriously, those cult hits are always the ones that make the money on Kickstarter.
Okay, now then. All right, we probably should start wrapping this up.
For God's sake, we have got
to
wrap up.
Okay, but before we do, I do want to say one more time. This weekend, the 2nd through the 5th, we are going to be in Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to be at Game Hole Con. If you have not been to this particular convention, it's really a good one. If you're into tabletop gaming, indie games, just good classic D&D, this is the convention for you. I gotta tell you, I honestly feel it's an up-and-coming Gen Con.
You know, and if for those that have watched the show before and have kind of followed us for a little bit, you know, we normally do a lot of interviews and stuff, and we plan to do the same thing. We're actually running an event all weekend. You may have heard of Mech Day around here.
The infamous Mech Day.
The infamous Mech Day. Well, we're taking it on the road.
Bring
and,
it to you.
And we are
taking
we
it to
are,
the streets.
Right. That's right. So we're going to be running Steel Battalions 10 rigs all weekend. So. We're stepping our game up at Game Hole Con, and gonna have a really exciting event. So, you know, I mean, the interviews you'll see, but you gotta show up to experience the glory that is Steel Battalions in linked.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, we have open play sessions. We'll be teaching people how to play a few times a day. So we'll have a big poster up in the front hall with times. Basically, every couple hours, we're gonna be giving our hey, they're doing training sessions, teaching people how to play. It's definitely got a little bit of a learning curve, but it's not hard. Like,
no.
Really, I can like sum it down to like 3 sentences. Like, I show people like, oh, hey, you've got these 2 sticks.
Huh?
These are your guns. Hit these buttons while they're flashing. That's really all you have to do. Learn to pick it up. And it's really cool. It's just like a very cool immersive experience. I'm really excited to show people how to play.
Yeah, it's a little daunting to look at the controller because they're like, you know, $40.
It's like the most complicated controller ever made.
But the basic piloting sums up to like, hey, you have these 2 joysticks. Here are your guns. Hit these buttons when they flash.
That's
really what it's about.
That is a good rule of thumb. If it's flashing, push it.
There's some you can kind of get into the nitty gritty, like hitting these overdrive buttons and like diverting
right.
power.
Right,
or
turning
like,
off your life support to
yeah.
put more power in your
you
system.
You can do all this fancy shit, but to run around and shoot people, it doesn't take a whole lot. So.
All right. So again, we will be at Game Hole Con this coming weekend. That's the 2nd through the 5th. It's in Madison, Wisconsin. Again, great convention. If you haven't checked it out, you definitely need to check this one out. If you are into D&D, if you're into classic gaming, wow, this is the place to be. They've got so much cool stuff there, and their growth has just been explosive. This is only their 5th year, and every year they just have gotten that much bigger than the last.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've been covering them for 4 years now. This is our fourth year with them. They've been doing it for 5, and cannot say enough good things about this particular convention. All right.
That was long.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry about that. They diverted me. They got off on the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, but this is it. This is this weekend. So we got to talk about it now or never. Yeah.
Now
or next week
or next year when we do it again. Continue, Rob. Take us out, Rob.
So we just got came on called Chick-fil-A Show. That's fucking funny, man.
Just call us the Chick-fil-A Show.
Yes, best name ever. All right.
Okay, that is a really good.
Yes.
That's a really good handle, actually.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and yes, we call it a bed job too.
Yes, we do.
Crank a steel battalion into your game hole. That's from the Peter Gallery.
Yeah, Peter Gallery.
The Peter Gallery is on fire tonight.
Yep.
And Fuego.
Fuego. All right, so, well, you enjoyed this insane podcast or whatever the heck we're calling it now. Well, you can check us out at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where we do all sorts of crazy crap every day. Lots of memes with kittens. Lots of kittens. What? Not enough? All right, fine. Twitter. @guysgamesbeer on Twitter, where there are free game giveaways on a regular basis, unlike Facebook, where we sometimes give away games.
Okay, that being said, we're doing the show on Monday. We normally give away a game on Wednesday. I'll give away a game on a Tuesday. So check out the show tomorrow. Or check out Twitter tomorrow.
Switch it up!
For a game. We're switching
while
it up.
While Larry's handing out candy to children in a kilt.
No, remember, I gotta wear pants.
They told me he's gotta wear pants for just that reason.
Well,
apparently they hate kilts. I don't know the reason.
Alright.
Still not enough.
I have no idea.
Still not enough for you at www.guysgamesandbeer.net, where all things guys, games, and beer get posted. Thank you very much for watching. We will see you next Tuesday for the next episode. Right back. Thank you.